for. Why? Because we have a faith. We have truth. We have the Word of God. And it's a sure foundation. Don't doubt your doubt. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubt. Get all doubt out of the camp. Get all sin out of the camp. You know, through all the darkening that the Israelites lived through in these sad centuries, all of the years of watching one generation after the other pass away, there still stood a coffin. There still stood a mummy with a message of hope. They would pass back by. Well, Daddy died. Oh, look at the mummy. He said, we're going to get out of here. We're going to make it. Can I tell you this morning, we have a better message of hope than a mummy in a box and a pyramid built around it. We have a better message of hope than that. We have an empty tomb. Hallelujah. We have an empty tomb and an occupied throne because Jesus Christ is alive. He lives inside of us. He is alive. He is on the throne. We can nourish our confidence in immortality and boast of the insignificance of death. It should have no effect on us because of the promise that just as Jesus arose on the third day, hallelujah, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, so shall you and I also be raised incorruptible. You can make it. You can live for God, and you can defeat death through God, through the infilling and the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost and the plan of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory. I know it's sad when we see loved ones fall and we come to a funeral and people cry and are upset. They're only crying and upset, most of them, because of past regrets or fears or hurt or memories of things they wish they could change or do over. But when there's a hope and an understanding that one greater than that has lived inside, and that body is just a temple. And yeah, we might bury that body of that loved one, but they are going to be victorious. Because they've given their heart and their life to God. And there is a hope beyond today. There's a hope for tomorrow. Our Joseph does not say, I die, but God will surely visit you. Instead, Jesus gives us the wonderful assurance of identification with himself and the promise that we shall participate in his glory. I'm going to be made a new creation, a new creature. You know, I'm not as smart as some of you sitting here. But when I realize that I'm here and then I'm gone, and when I wake up in glory, it might take me a few seconds to realize, man, I'm on streets of gold. Man, look at those walls. Look at the light. Look at the presence of God. Hear the angels sing, holy, holy, holy. When I find, it might take me a second or two. You might get it immediately. It might take me a second to process. Maybe five, say, I don't know. But when I figure out where I'm at, you better watch out because I'm going to cut a rug. I made it to, it was worth it all. Oh yeah, it was worth it all. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Folks, you can make it. Don't let temporal things in life, situations in life, hold you back, stop you. Jesus tells us, because I live, ye shall live also. There is a hope Because of this great promise, our hope is much brighter and more confirmed than this ancient one given by Joseph and Egypt. Because of Jesus' promise, we can live by hope rather than fruition. Sometimes by virtue of life's trials and tribulations, we have but a short-reaching hope. But short-sighted hopes are better than absorption in the present and being consumed by your present circumstance. For a time, you may have to come to church and live from service to service, gaining strength in the hope from each and every sermon. But that short-sighted approach of hope is better than being consumed by the problems of the world around us. If after this service you have to immediately begin to look forward to the next service Tuesday night for hope, so be it. Do what you've got to do, but keep hope alive. Keep your faith alive. Keep your victory in view. Eventually you will grasp onto the hope that goes beyond this life and into the eternal hope where you begin to live every day victorious and you begin to realize, I'm going to be an overcomer today. I'm going to make it today. Oh, I might stump my toe. I might have a flat, but I'm going to be victorious because there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger scenario going on in my small world. I need to open it up to the big view and the grand scheme of things that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came and He lived and He died, but He rose again so that you and I might live. So we have a hope that will never, never fail. The Israelites, no doubt, were swayed by many elements and enticements to settle down for good. To live in the land of Goshen, to think of themselves as better off there than out in the wilderness, striving to possess pastures no richer than the ones they already had. Have you reached that point in your life where you've just said, well, this is how it's going to be. I just, you know, if God will deliver me, fine. If He doesn't, you've written off any hope for tomorrow. Well, my circumstances will never change, preacher. I'll never make it. Can I tell you, you can. You can make it. Every time these people begin to doubt and fear, the mummy would begin to speak a message into their life that sounded in their ears. This is not your rest. Arise and claim your inheritance. In like manner, the humdrum of getting up and going to work or school or coming home to the daily chores of our workaday world and serve only to dull our senses and our lives and cause us to lose sight of promise. What a facade the devil will place in front of you. Well, if you could just do this, and we get distracted by material victories, and we get distracted by dreams of going to a certain vacation spot or experiencing a level of life and being sophisticated and being well off. And that's fine. That's no problem with that. But you've got to keep into perspective. You know, I really wonder sometimes. I've asked God flat out, God, how come you make some heathen just absolutely so wealthy and live in a life of luxury beyond imagination? Here I am over here living for, and you know, really, the fact is maybe God hadn't blessed you because you haven't got the big picture yet, that it's not about the money. And really, the ones that are blessed living for God like that, they've got the big picture. They've got an understanding. They can take it or leave it, really, as long as they have the Word of God and they understand the relationship with God. I'm challenging you this morning. I'm challenging our families. Let's get proper perspective. Let's get a hold of the real problem and situation, and maybe the problem and the answer would be the better way. The answer is Jesus. The problem is anything that distracts you from Jesus. We've got to keep in proper context and perspective. This is not our rest. Arise and claim your inheritance. We must rediscover the power and the hope and the truth of our future reward and our future rest. To believe this awesome truth of the future reward will affect our overall conduct. Hallelujah. We need to realize we're just strangers and pilgrims in this world, just passing through. You know, we used to sing songs like this that I remember growing up with. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Or songs like, I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. What has our perspective turned to? I'm not trying to be difficult this morning, but I'm here to tell you, as the adult Sunday school class, we're facing situations with these children. They don't fear God or Satan or heaven or hell. They don't have a clue. It's not because they're not being taught here or in their Sunday school class. They are. But their reality is not real reality. It's a virtual reality. They'll live life, and just like the game they play for hours, we can restart it. We'll start over and redo that level. Can I tell you, you won't redo life and life's level. You have but one life, and only what's done for Christ will last. Is there anyone in the house today who can identify with the writer who penned these words? It's actually found on page 310 of songbooks, the old school songbooks. Here among the shadows, living in a lonely land, with strangers, were a band of pilgrims on the move. Through dangers burdened down with sorrows, and we're shunned on every hand. But we are looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Folks, I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city. I want to be an effective man of God. I want us to be effective men and women of God reaching our generation. But we've got to have a hope. We've got to be looking for a city. That mummy's message was also preaching a message of patience. Over three centuries. All of these years, that silent sermon rang out. If the vision tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Life is short, folks. We only have one time around. We long to see great harvest reaped, and we're going to be called home. But we've got to see. We've got to affect our generation. We've got to affect the men and women and children around us. And if we don't instill that hope and plant that hope in our children, they won't get to experience the joy and the life that you now get to experience. Romans 8:24, and I close. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? There's a wisdom, folks. There's a wisdom and deep truth in Paul's apparent paradox. He goes on to say in verse 25, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? The more sure the confidence, folks, the more quiet the patient waiting. You will say, I know that it shall be thus and so, because God said it was going to be so. And you can live at peace. I've added In my morning prayer, I've begun to ask God, God, I'm asking for peace. Not only in our home, but in our community, in our families, in our churches, in our private homes. Because it starts in your home, Daddy. It starts with you. Mama, it starts with you. Don't blame the Sunday school teachers or pastor or music director or hostess at the front. It starts at home. And we've got to plant this hope. We've got to teach our children to fear the Lord. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Hallelujah. If you'd stand with me all over the building. You know, God's not always early. He's never late. He's always on time. And whatever you've been dealing with in your personal family, in your personal relationship with God, can I tell you there's hope? You can have the victory in overcomer. We're overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. To have a testimony, you've got to go through something. To have a victory, you have to have been in a battle. To have peace, you've got to realize that there's been a time of war. So let's get rid of all the other distractions in our life. And let's just begin to focus. Just baby steps, begin to focus. Every time the house of God is open, make it a point to strive to be there. If you get off late, just come in your work clothes. It's okay. We have air freshener. Go in the bathroom and spray some on. It's all right. If you're running late, it's okay. But strive to get in the presence and power of God. If you can't do it at home, come do it here. Amen. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our families, our men, our women, these services that we're fixing to have in worship. Lord, for all the things that are going on around this church, I thank you for every person here today and every person that has helped make this church what it is. Lord, we have a wonderful church. Lord, we have a hope and a faith in you, and I thank you right now for every member, for every person that make up this wonderful team and family serving you. Lord, we're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another this morning in the fear of the Lord. Love on one another. Fellowship for a little while. We'll come back in about 8 or 9 minutes. We'll have Sunday morning worship. God bless you.